Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
We have a Reardon Roundtable set for Friday afternoon. Former State Senator Jeff Smith, current political consultant, will be here. Also, GOP consultant Greg Keller. They always battle very well together on the roundtable. And then in the 5 o'clock hour on Friday, the mayor of Grafton, Illinois, they are dedicating this amazing D-Day memorial this weekend. And that's Sue's father-in-law, Mike, Mayor Mike. And it's an incredible thing that they're doing there that's really going to become, I think, a national treasure. It's not just for the region. I want people to know about this. So we're going to talk about it a little bit on Friday afternoon. We've spent much of this afternoon kind of handicapping and breaking down several of the races from, you know, the jungle primary in California, what happened in New Jersey as well. Now, they have another primary next week in Maine, and John Featherston is with us with the Maine Journal. I'm just very confused about this Graham Plattner story, and I think John's been trying to expose some of this and not getting a lot of cooperation. But John Featherston, thank you for coming on with me. Welcome to 97.1 FM Talk in St. Louis. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a great opportunity. Love to talk to you about it.
It's been one of those situations that I sit in the middle of the country, and, you know, politics is kind of my thing. We talk politics. I just don't understand it. It's like we're almost missing something because he seems to be such a despicable person with so much baggage, but the Democrats are still not, you know, dumping him. So what is the real story out there, John?
Well, you know, Graham Plattner was picked out of central casting by Bernie Sanders. You know, Graham Plattner is the male version of AOC. You know, a guy who is a theater kid who gives a good speech. He'll tell you that he's an oyster farmer. I'll tell you I've dug into his financials. It's a hobby. He gives a dynamic speech, and he's got the grovelly voice, and, you know, the middle-aged women think he's handsome and macho. And at the end of the day, after the speech is over, he's really not all that bright. He's not all that really that quick on his feet. And, you know, his online history tells you that he's not a really good guy, if not a totally creepy guy.
Right.
And, you know, but, you know, he says all the right things. He has a digital team, you know, that got Mondani elected in New York City. So his ads are pretty glitzy.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, every day something more comes out on him. You know, either it's in a porta potty or, you know, on Kick, you know, a pedophile site. I'm hearing, you know, rumors that another sexual allegation is soon to drop at any day now.
And, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm hearing, because I think what you know, because you follow this stuff, just to let the audience know, look, there's a big folder on Graham Plattner, and some of that opposition research has been released, and some of it, the shoe is about to be dropped, to your point. But, man, what's fascinating and somewhat not encouraging, John, is that every time something like this drops, you know, Chuck Schumer and Bernie Sanders, they cozy up to him even more.
Well, I'm starting to see something a little bit different, though, because, you know, yesterday Schumer says we're going to beat Susan Collins. He doesn't say we're going to beat Susan Collins with Graham Plattner. You know, some of the Democratic leaders, you know, we're still going to beat Susan Collins. One, no, you're not. And you weren't even going to beat Susan Collins if Plattner wasn't a creepy guy. But number two, you know, Janet Mills, who is the two-term incumbent governor, mm-hmm. here, suspended her campaign. She didn't quit her campaign. She didn't, you know, didn't shut it down. She is reminding people that she is still on the ballot. And Maine has a law that the middle of July, even if they Democrats want to remove Plattner from, you know, the running, they can substitute somebody else. So
really?
I think we're hours, if not days away from, you know, hey, you know, congratulations, Mr. Plattner, you won the primary, but we're still replacing you.
But let's let's talk about Susan Collins just real quick, because most of the people that I talk to that know your state and that talk about Maine, they do firmly believe, even if he is the nominee, that, you know, in the end, and she's been behind in polls before, that she will close the deal in Maine.
The Recap Show is an inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, Susan Collins has won multiple elections here in Maine. You know, she's not conservative enough for some people.
Right.
Some people say she's purple. But Susan Collins is Maine. She's a middle-of-the-road person. You know, Maine elects, you know, radicals and conservatives, and they really do. And Susan Collins has built up her institutional knowledge of local issues.
Mm-hmm.
She knows you know, Maine is a small population state, but a huge, you know, geographical state. She knows every police chief, every DPW director, every, you know.
That stuff goes a long way. People, I think regular voters don't understand how, you know, we had a guy, and he's an establishment guy, I guess if you want to paint him as that, former Senator Roy Blunt, but man, was he good at the retail politics, you know, and that stuff matters. People remember it, right?
And most importantly, what Susan Collins does is she's the head of appropriations. She essentially handles America's checkbook.
Mm-hmm.
She's brought a lot of money, a lot of infrastructure, you know, fire trucks, police cruisers, built schools for people. That's important. And, you know, some people say, you know, Susan Collins is the fifth most powerful person in the federal government. Graham Plattner will be number 100 in the exclusive 100 club. And he says he's going to go sit there and tell Trump what to do. No, you're going to go sit in the corner and do what we tell you to do. You know, it's, you know, the campaign ads don't match reality.
John Featherston is here. He's a reporter for the Maine Journal. Is it my understanding that you've kind of been blocked from covering Graham Plattner at some of these events?
You know, that's very accurate, Mark. Originally, he was very open and friendly with me, and, you know, we got along and we communicated, and then I wrote some, you know, aggressive pieces on him. And then all of a sudden, you know, the main wires here, we're not allowing, you know, anybody to get access to Plattner. You know, it used to be I could just walk up to him on the street, shake his hand, ask him how his day was going. And now, like, I was up in Lewiston. There was, unfortunately, some children shot some children. Mm. And he was walking down the street. And I said, hey, you know, what do you think about the gun violence in Lewiston? Pretty much of a softball question to any politician. He just walked by me like, you know, like he owed me money and stuff and just kept on walking. And then this past Sunday, he actually had a grown man in a bear costume block me from getting access to him as he's getting in the car. So, I mean, this thing just gets more and more surreal as the days go on.
One of the first things that I think the American people outside of Maine heard about Graham Plattner was about the tattoo, right? And that, mm-hmm. in ordinary circumstances, John, I think you would admit, would be automatically disqualifying. But in this case, it's not. So how is his excuse and his, you know, reasoning of that playing for Maine? Because that just seems to be one of those things that I don't know how anyone can get their arms around that with someone that doesn't know what he's putting on his body permanently.
You know, his story has changed. You know, he'll tell you that he was a World War II historian and a buff, and then you ask him, like, well, that's a Nazi tattoo. And he's like, well, I didn't know it was because I was just drunk and I got it when I was drunk. And then I said to him, I said, well, listen, and I said this to him, and he didn't like it. I said to him, I said, if you've got a stain on your carpet, and you put a throw rug over it, is the stain still there? Or just because you can't see it because he covered it up, his Nazi tattoo?
Ooh.
And he's like,
ooh,
what's your point? And I'm like,
good question.
You still have a Nazi tattoo. You didn't get it removed. You had it covered up. And he's like, well, yeah, but, you know. And I said, no. I said, your tattoo is old enough to vote, and you're just now realizing it's a problem. You know, so.
John, those are great. I mean, look, that's great questioning, I think, and something that he should have to respond to. So the primary, correct me if I get any of this wrong, your primary is next week, right?
Next Tuesday.
And when it comes to, you know, because Susan Collins, is she opposed? She's not opposed in any way that it's significant. So she's not having to blow through money at this point, right?
She's just sitting back and watching him self-destruct.
Yeah. Do you think there's ever a point where, you know, I guess your point about Schumer earlier was interesting, that maybe there is something that's going to go on, you know, to get him off the ballot. But man, if he stays there, it'll be fascinating to me to see Democrats, you know, stick with him. But they're not backing off at this point, and I guess they still will. So I'll be very curious to see how this kind of plays out in the next few weeks.
You know, you're starting to see Graham Plattner signs disappear, you know, as I drive through neighborhoods and, you know, in common areas that you used to say, oh, wow, there's a Plattner sign. You're not seeing them right now. So I think people are quietly quitting him as much as the DNC is telling him to probably get out of the way here. I think it's hours. I really do. I think it's hours before you hear something.
I've never been to Maine. I had an invite years ago to go to Portland, Maine with some friends. I've heard it's beautiful. It's one of those things that we need to do at some point. And I have friends that have a place up in Portland. And then I can always call my old friend George W. Bush. Don't they still have a place up there in Kennebunkport,
right? Jonathan Bush is running for governor up here. So,
oh, yeah. Really? There's a connection there?
Yeah.
No. All right, John. Well, we'll keep in touch. Thank you so much for tonight. I appreciate it.
An honor to join you. Thank you.
John Featherston, he works for the Maine Journal.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.